The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael, Managing Editor of Crypto for Bloomberg News. And this is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily Bloomberg iHeart podcast. It's Monday, June 27th. California's Silicon Valley is both a place and a philosophy. It's hailed as the place for U.S. tech startups to get funding and attract talent. VCs, or venture capitalists, are an integral part of this mythology. These are the people who provide the private capital, billions of dollars worth, so tech startups can chase the next big thing. Despite the volatile crypto market, some of those VCs are still betting big on the potential of the blockchain. For the latest on this, Bloomberg reporter Hannah Miller joins me for a look at how crypto is influencing VC, and vice versa. Hannah, thank you again, as always, for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So today we're going to talk about venture capital. I am delighted to be recording this episode literally in San Francisco on a week where there are, as there always is, a lot of tech and VCs in town. This is a place as part of, you know, the tech scene that folks in and out of the U.S. may have heard about that has given rise to one of the biggest sources of funding for tech startups, many kinds of startups, but primarily tech and increasingly crypto startups. What do our listeners need to understand about venture capital and crypto?
Well, there's big money coming in. That's the first thing to understand. Venture capitalists are really excited about the space, and they've gotten their limited partners on board with this. And they're cutting really big checks to support crypto and Web3 startups.
And limited partners are the people who say, yes, you can write this check or you can't.
Exactly.
Or increasingly just like do a bank transfer for a very large amount of money.
Yes.
And when you say they're raising big money, like give me a sense of proportion here. What are we talking about?
Yeah, well, there was a $4.5 billion fund, a record-breaking investment vehicle that came just recently from Andreessen Horowitz, which is a huge player in the space. This is just a massive amount of money coming at a time when there's a huge market downturn for crypto.
Crypto, stocks, everything, pretty much.
Everything. So it was really fascinating to see that come up. It shows that there's still a lot of confidence that the space will overcome this.
And Andreessen Horowitz, they are obviously one of the older, people say more prestigious names in venture capital. They've been in crypto for a long time. This is not their first foray into investing in crypto companies.
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah, they were an early investor in OpenSea, which, you know, is the leading NFT marketplace at the moment. They've been backing really some of the biggest names in the industry. And they have this very large dedicated crypto team and just launched a research arm dedicated to helping their portfolio companies.
And of course, one of the people who was running that crypto fund went off and started her own recently as well.
Yeah, that's Katie Hahn. And, you know, it's been really interesting to see where Hahn Ventures is going. They've also backed some pretty big names in the space, including Autograph, an NFT platform started by Tom Brady.
So what we've got is, it sounds like, a handful of really large players that everyone is clamoring for who come from traditional venture investing. And then we also have non-traditional venture players who are native to crypto. Can you say a little bit more about that end of the market?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. There's sort of a tense divide between crypto native VC firms and generalist firms. Crypto native firms like Paradigm, which has a $2.5 billion fund dedicated to the space.
Which was at the time big.
That was, they had the biggest one until A16Z came in. But yeah, no, they believe they have the specialized knowledge to really support their portfolio companies. They're entrenched in the space. They're completely dedicated to the space. They also understand the philosophy driving, you know, blockchain startups and this idea of decentralization. So I've talked to investors, you know, who are at crypto native firms, and they have a lot of resentment towards the Sandhill set. They don't believe.
And Sandhill is the part, not in San Francisco, actually, in Palo Alto, where a lot of these old school VC firms are based.
Yes. Yeah, no. And it's very interesting to see, you know, how they sort of scoff at these firms that are coming in that have been established for decades,
yep,
but may not have like a true conviction in the space.
It's very similar to what we're seeing in other parts of the crypto market where folks are like, oh, these Wall Street dudes coming in and crashing our party. Is that resentment a function of, as you say, a lack of conviction? They think they're fair weather only? Or is it about the lack of technical understanding or domain expertise?
Yeah, I think the lack of technical expertise is something that the crypto native firms really resent about the generalist firms. And they think maybe they don't do their proper research when looking into projects to invest, that they're going more for flash than the actual technology behind these platforms. It's been very interesting with crypto native firms. They have these research specific arms, you know, that can really provide technical expertise to portfolio companies. But with firms like A16Z, we have seen that research arm getting built out. That's really chock full of some impressive technical experts who can provide support.
So they're sort of rising to the challenge posed by these other folks. One of the other places we're seeing crypto investments is from big crypto exchanges themselves. So Coinbase, Binance, they both have venture capital arms. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, we've seen some really interesting stuff coming out of these venture arms that are part of these huge names in crypto, like Binance, like Coinbase, like FTX. So these venture arms, you know, they fall into that crypto native category. They have a lot of money to play with typically, and they're making really some big investments in the space. So that's been exciting to see, you know, these firms pop up. Again, they have this knowledge, this expertise to really assess, evaluate projects and provide support to their portfolio companies.
We're also, or are you starting to see specialization? So for instance, one thing I've observed with FTX is they tend to make their investments in things that obviously support the Solana ecosystem that they're closely associated with. They've been doing some interesting things in gaming. They raised, I believe it was a $100 million fund dedicated to crypto gaming. Are you also seeing certain parts of the market where you're like, oh, this firm is really playing over here?
Yeah, gaming is such a hot area. You know, it's really drawing in some big investors, like you mentioned, FTX Ventures. And, you know, it's really a hot button space, but there's also a lot of pushback against the use of NFTs and blockchain in gaming.
From the traditional gaming companies.
From traditional gaming companies, from gamers themselves.
Yep.
You know, they don't understand the point. Like, why do I need an NFT in a game I know and love? Is this going to be a super clunky, annoying game with bad graphics?
Which it mostly is right now.
Exactly. You know, is it just a finance platform wrapped up in crappy graphics? You know, that's really something that's talked about a lot. And that's something that both those investing in gaming platforms and those building them will have to overcome for it to take off.
We'll be right back with more of Hannah Miller's take on the innovative ways VC is partnering with crypto startups.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing. The passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stiefel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of the crypto companies that are backed by VC have had, shall we say, a challenging year. There have been some massive hacks. There have been all different kinds of exploits. There's been a ton of bad press. How are VCs who may have been used to just being like, yep, that seems great, and not doing that research that you mentioned, responding to this more challenging landscape?
Yeah, their roles are changing in the space. They're going to have to be prepared to bail out projects that suffer massive security flaws. We saw that with Jump Crypto and Wormhole. It's just something that they have to ask themselves when investing in this space. How much am I willing to pay to come in and be a white knight and bail out my portfolio company?
Are you seeing any reputational risk? Like, are there crypto companies or that are saying, hey, these VCs are associated with projects I don't want to be associated with, or vice versa?
I have, yeah. I've actually seen sort of a hybrid investing model where it's sort of traditional venture capital, but it uses blockchain and the investments are actually made using blockchain. They'll whitelist certain investors for a project.
Whitelist, an approved list of vendors.
Only those investors would be able to put in money. And that's through voting with crypto tokens.
So you're seeing both more discernment, as in people are like, okay, it can't just be a free-for-all, but also they're using that crypto-native governance structure to make these kinds of decisions.
Yes.
That seems unusual in VC. And in, you know, in terms of, I don't think folks are kind of used to the equivalent of shareholder democracy, as it were, coming to private capital.
Yeah, and that's why we've seen them use vehicles like decentralized autonomous organizations to make these decisions. And at the end of the day, they're like, all right, you have to be okay with it because this is blockchain. This is what we do. If you're not cool with it, then don't invest.
Speaking of things that VCs may or may not be cool with, let's talk about ApeCoin for a second. So what is ApeCoin and what was the controversy as it related to governance and VCs?
Yeah, so ApeCoin, they did a drop not too long ago. You were able to get ApeCoin if you held a Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT.
One of the biggest, most popular, most expensive collections.
Exactly. And there's also some spinoff collections of that you could still get coins if you had those. And a lot of the VCs were the ones getting these massive amounts of ApeCoin tokens when they dropped because they had invested in Yuga Labs, which is Bored Ape Yacht Club's developer. And there was a lot of controversy about this. This was supposed to be like a really fun community where, you know, people would get a huge say in what happens with Bored Ape Yacht Club's, you know, universe, I guess. You know, there's a game coming out, there's a restaurant, there's all this different stuff happening with the project. So the fact that venture capitalists were getting massive amounts of ApeCoins and a huge say in what happens with the project seemed to go against the grain when it comes to the decentralization that underpins blockchain.
Right. So we've transformed from, you know, if you have money, you make money, into like, if you have crypto, you make crypto in this particular context. How have the VCs or have the VCs themselves responded to this avenue of criticism?
Yeah, no, I mean, we've seen them say, like, you know, we understand the philosophy here. We're not here to take over these projects. A16Z actually delegates out portions of its tokens for different projects to things like student groups and schools.
So when you say delegates, that means they say, hey, we have this amount of voting power. You take it and do something with it.
Exactly. They're not transferring over like ownership of the tokens, but that voting power, they're trying to make it more decentralized than what they say. But for some people in the space, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. They see these investors coming in, referring it to as Web3, and that they're the ones going to be taking control of what is supposed to be space managed by users.
So I want to end on that note about the tension between what folks call crypto and what folks call Web3.
Yeah.
And when we talk about Web3, what we're often talking about is something that Chris Dixon, who is a venture capitalist, who is associated with Andreessen Horowitz or A16Z, has identified as a way for creatives to monetize their talent, their energies, their efforts on the blockchain. Then there are a bunch of people who are like, so? We don't understand what that has to do with crypto specifically. None of this even necessarily requires a blockchain. I mean, it got to the point where there have been these like exceptionally petty billionaire feuds on Twitter with people like Jack Dorsey, formerly CEO of Twitter and now running Block, you know, essentially fighting with these different VCs about this ideological schism in crypto. Why does any of this matter?
Yeah, it does matter. I mean, Web3 is a catch-all term that we hear so often and people use different definitions for it and can make the space more cloudy and confusing. Mm-hmm. But this is something that's coming up more and more. I see projects themselves using the term Web3. It is something that we need to keep tabs on. And basically, it's looking at, you know, who's controlling the internet, who's benefiting from it in the future. Web3, in my mind, refers to a decentralized version of the web that's free from, you know, control of big tech giants, you know, like we've seen currently. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. What I hear is it's very, very early stages. You know, we're only like 20% of the way there for potential. And at the same time, there could be just this idea that it completely falls flat.
Indeed. And the idea of Web3 being a decentralized version of the internet, the centralized version of the internet was funded by the same VCs who are now trying to sell you on the decentralized version of the internet. So wherever there is a tech idea, there's somebody making money on it. All right. Well, that was a very helpful episode, and I'm glad you were able to join us today.
Thank you for having me.
All righty. You can find more of Hannah's reporting on the Bloomberg Terminal, on Bloomberg.com, and on Twitter. She's at HGMiller29. On the next episode of Bloomberg Crypto, we're going to talk about crypto correlation, what it is, how it works, and what that means when crypto prices and prices in the stock market, a completely unrelated asset class, seem to be moving in lockstep. For this, you'll hear from Bloomberg reporter Vildana Hardrick, who will join me to break this down. I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael, and this is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions for the show to crypto@bloomberg.net, and you'll find us on Twitter at crypto. The supervising producer of this episode is Vicky Vergolina. Associate producer is Ty Butler. Desta Wonderad is our engineer. Original music by Leo Sidran. Bloomberg's head of podcasts is Francesca Levy.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.